Thakur, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radhisham Lalita Vishakadevi Ki Jai. Just like the brahmanas, they will wrap around the thread, the Brahman thread, on their neck. So similarly, even later on, these markings of the umbilical cord can be still seen in the body of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And because of his large brain, seemingly his head is bigger in proportion to his body. And according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is symptom, but there are different parts of the body of a Mahapurush or a very great personality can be seen. And this is from the Adilila, chapter 14, text 15. Five are large in the parts of the body: their nose, arms, chin, eyes and knees. Five are fine parts of the body of a perfected person: the skin, fingertips, teeth, the hair on the body and on the head. Just check yourself if you have any of this. Seven are reddish: eyes, the soles of the feet, the palms, the palate or palette, nails, and upper and lower lips. Six raised: chest, shoulders, nails, nose, waist, and mouth. Three small parts of the body can be visibly seen: the neck, the thighs, and the male organ. Three broad parts of the body: the waist, forehead, and chest. And three grave: the navel, the voice, and existence. More often, one can be seen Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur smiling, but at times he is very grave. Grave means very deep. Not speaking and practically no emotions being seen on the face, but very, very deep being Krishna conscious. It says that his feet are very soft like butter, that when you touch, or anyone who touch, they can feel that there is no bones in there. And I've seen some devotees like that. When I touch my, I don't touch my Guru Maharaj's lotus feet. He says that one should not touch Guru Maharaj's lotus feet. If you do, do it very delicately. And I did one time, and his feet also is very soft. This is a sign of a great personality. His skin is so soft, very delicate also, that it's been, if it touch a little bit, it becomes reddish. Is your skin like that also? Sometimes maybe when it's cold right now. It's very tall. Is around 6 foot, 1 inch, 6 footer. You've seen a picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, is like outstanding compared to his disciples, like a giant. Tall, slender built. But unusual characteristic is that he appeared to be having a breast like a woman. Have you seen a picture also of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wearing his sannyasi cloth without shirt inside? So he's like that also. In those days, even prior to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's appearance, Bhaktivinod Thakur, who is the pioneer of the Krishna consciousness movement, he is considered as the seventh Goswami due to his very prolific writer. He wrote many, many books. Even though he was not born in a Brahmana family, he observed that there's so many upasampradayas, so many personalities who are averse on the Vaishnava theology, Vaishnava principle. And he was praying. He was praying all the time to have a personality be sent by the Supreme Lord Himself to continue on after He will be gone. That this prayer was answered. And one of the proof of this was when there was a Ratha Yatra. Because Bhaktivinod Thakur was the magistrate. He was a district magistrate. In those days, during the British rule, very rare that this position can be held by an Indian. Not so easy. Very few. And Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur is exceptional that the British government, they were so happy to be having him. He was being a magistrate. He's also in charge of Jagannath Temple in Puri. That at the time of Ratha Yatra, the cart stopped at the residence, in front of the residence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. See, Jagannath doesn't stop by people. Just like nowadays, when we have Ratha Yatra, you know, we have 100 stops. Not because Jagannath wanted to stop, but because the people want to do some arti or offering, so they will stop the cart. But even in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime with the Ratha Yatra, they're not able to pull Lord Jagannath. He will only move according to his will. So Lord Jagannath, his cart stopped at the residence, in front of the residence of Bhaktivinod Thakur. And in one of those 3 days, because of the position of Bhaktivinod Thakur, Bhagavati, the mother of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, had the privilege to bring the child on Jagannath's cart. And so when she brought the child on the cart, then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was trying to touch Lord Jagannath, and lo and behold, a garland fell on the body of Lord Jagannath and landed on the head of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. That those who witnessed this, they concluded that this is not an ordinary person. See, the pujaris would usually take the garland and give to the devotees. But here, Lord Jagannath himself offered his own garland directly to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Confirming that actually, this is my devotee. He's not an ordinary person. So they named him in the beginning as Bimala Prasad. Bimala Prasad, the energy of the Supreme Lord Bimala. In Jagannath Puri also they have this deity of Bimala Devi, the predominating deity of the external energy, expansion of Durga Devi or Parvati. And the first grains during the Annaprasana, the first grains that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur ate is the prasad from Bimala Devi. When he was being given the choice whether to take gold or Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is the Vedic culture to see the future of the child, he'll be given a choice, Bhagavatam or coins, gold coins. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur chose the Srimad Bhagavatam. When at the age of 7 he memorized already the Bhagavad Gita, the whole Bhagavad Gita practically, and he'll be able to explain to a great extent philosophically the verses. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was excavating their house in Calcutta, the Bhakti Bhavan, they unearthed from digging up the earth a deity of Kurma. And he gave this deity to Bhaktisiddhanta to worship. He also initiated his son in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and gave him the Nisinga Mantra. Traditionally, the father cannot initiate the son. This is not proper etiquette. That later on, he asked his son to take initiation from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was very good, exceptionally good in school. Academically, he does not read any of these educational materials that's been provided by school. But to the surprise of the teachers, he's like number one in exams, everything. He knows in and out. Usually he will be reading the books of his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the books that he wrote. He will be accompanying him all the time. From time to time they will be traveling. They will go to Krishnanagar. They will go to Puri. They will go to different holy places. It says also that in 1898, in 1899, in 1905, he spent around 15 days in the Radha Raman temple. Spend that time. During his college days, he will be always seen debating with other classmates. And they also made a club called the August Assembly Club. And this August Assembly Club, to be a member, you have to be celibate. So in the beginning, there were many members, but no one lasted. He was the only one lasted. He was a Naistika Brahmachari. That means he did not have any connection with women in his life. But he said later on that if I can produce 100 sons, to be Krishna conscious, I will do it. But he did not do it, knowingly the precarious condition that one being in the grihastha life. So he's a Naistika Brahmachari. He's like, he has this like an encyclopedic mind. It doesn't matter whom he will speak to, any subject matter, he'll be able to relate with him. It doesn't matter what kind of subject, topic will be. Easily he can be well versed in this and speak at length. He will be seen most of the times in the park also, doing debate with some young people, especially the Christians. But he's always respectful, very polite. See, in those days, the preaching is different than these days, of course. His main opponents actually are the Mayavadis, Sahajas. He's preaching like an Indian traditional way, through example. He would never, you see him, very rarely he'll be angry to his disciples later on. Very rare. We'll speak about that later on. So he's so amazingly that he's when in books, when it comes to books, he will only read once and he will memorize this. Srutidhar. If one is not lose his simen, his brain becomes so powerful that anything that he'll be able to read or see, he'll remember it even after many, many years. Unlike Kali Yuga people nowadays, wasting so much of this energy, the brain becomes dull. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, when he took initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, in the beginning he was not being accepted by Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, because knowingly Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he knew that Bhaktisiddhanta is a scholar, very intelligent, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji is considered as illiterate, practically doesn't know how to read and write, but he's always absorbed in Nama Bhajan. He's considered as a perfected soul, a Siddha. That he says, no, I cannot give you this initiation. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he was very persistent. So he told Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj that, please, I want to take shelter to your lotus feet. Okay, I will ask Mahaprabhu. Let's see what he will say. And time passed by, so he asked Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So, what did Mahaprabhu say? And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj says, oh, I forgot to ask. Please, you must ask, because otherwise my life is a waste. Okay, I'll ask him again. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur asked him again, and then the reply was, Oh Mahaprabhu, he's not liking it. He's not giving me any answer. He's not giving me any answer. That means indirectly saying, you know, I cannot give you initiation. And then at that time he says, then this life, might as well give this up. If I am not able to have shelter and get mercy under shelter of your lotus feet, then might as well I throw myself. Better die. Is this our mood also when we took shelter under the lotus feet of our spiritual master? Was this our mood? There was another story like that. Lokanath Goswami, right? Lokanath Goswami, and who is his disciple? Narottam Das Thakur. He would do the same thing also. He would clean after he would pass, and Lokanath Goswami will be just wondering who is this person. To get the mercy of Guru is the success of one's spiritual life. His mercy, the Guru's mercy, is endless, unfathomable, incomprehensible. Because to get the mercy of Guru means getting Krishna's mercy. No difference between Guru's mercy and Krishna's mercy. So he got initiated, and actually sometime when Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, you will see that his disciple will be coming. Oh, Amanjari is coming. And this was also the conclusion later on. One of his disciples, he had a dream that in the dream his Guru Maharaj is none other than Nayana Manjari. He did not reveal this, but he was just smiling. He understood the position of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He understood the position of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. They're all Manjaris. Manjaris means they're younger in age to the gopis compared to the gopis. They're more in the innocent stage that in some of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Radha and Krishna, they can be present. Because of their innocence, they're able to witness some of them compared to other sakis. So one time also when he was he saw this Guru Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bipin Bihari Goswami, he was giving mercy to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was kind of told, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj told him, do you know who is this person you're giving your mercy? One Babaji also, a great Vaishnava, he told Bhaktivinoda Thakur that you're not wearing Vaishnava dress. You're not wearing any Vaishnava tilak, and you call yourself as a Vaishnava. You're not a Vaishnava. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, no. He's a Vaishnava, even at the time of his birth. He quoted a verse that this Babaji concluded that this boy is not an ordinary boy. He understood the philosophy. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, in order for him to prepare for his preaching work, he took a vow to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 1 billion times, the names of the Lord. 1 billion times. It took us 2 hours to chant 25,000. Is that right? 25,000 names of the Lord, 16 rounds, 2 hours. He took that vow that he would chant 3 lakhs name every day, like Haridas Thakur. 1 lakh or 64 rounds, that means 16 times 4, that's 8. 8 hours to chant 100,000 names of the Lord. And to chant 3 lakhs, 300,000 names of the Supreme Lord, it'll take at least, if you're good at it and don't fall asleep, 16 hours. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur took him 9 years to chant 1 billion. And in spite of that vow, he built a house, a thatched house in Mayapur, that even when it's raining, he continued chanting. He will just have an umbrella and continue this vow of chanting. He would eat only khichdi without any spices on the floor sometimes on the left or the left, like a cow also. Very heavy austerity, big tapasya. He would shave his head once a month. In the Gaudiya Math, this is the rule. At least once a month, one should shave his head. But because he's preaching also, even at the time when he took this vow, he would be preaching. He has time for preaching. He has time to write. He has time to see disciples as well. But he's very strict. Sannyasi. He never touched money after taking sannyas. That'll be very difficult for our modern day sannyasis to do. He would ask his disciples to deal with money matter. When there is a Bhagavatam class, there is a curtain between the woman and the man, so that they will not see each other. There was a disciple of his who's married to a 60-year-old wife. Of course, they're already senior citizen, and the wife would like to speak with him. And he says, please send your son. You can speak to your son and I will speak to him. You can stay downstairs. When he gave initiation to the wife of OBL Kapoor, a very good writer also, Prabhupada's good friend, god brother, there was a curtain when he gave the Nam Diksha. There was she would want to speak to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and she's already like considered as a granddaughter to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He says, no, whatever you want to speak, you can speak in front of my disciples. Very strict. In terms of shaving, he would shave his beard because of preaching. He will wear nice clothes when it comes to preaching. Devotees will give him shawls, shoes, but sometimes he would buy his own clothes. He would be wearing Because traditionally, sannyasis in those days, they don't wear any stitched clothes, clothings. But because he has to meet a very respectable gentleman, leaders, like Sir John Anderson, when he came, he was the governor of Bengal. You can see him with a photo with a double-breasted coat with an British-style shoes made in India with the stockings. You can see him also traveling on a motor car. Luxury. In those days, 1930s, no one has cars practically. And a sannyasi, a sadhu, he will be criticized. He says, "You're a sadhu. How come you're wearing these nice clothes? How come you're living like luxuriously?" He says, for preachers of Krishna consciousness, they have the privilege to do this. But he will not let his brahmacharis have these very, very elegant clothings. He will not let his sannyasis to go use the car. He has a car, he has a camel, he has an elephant. In the mat, they have this for preaching. Sannyasis used to wear no shoes for preaching also. But for meeting very highly personalities, then he will let them do it. And if someone would want to meet him, it doesn't matter what his position is, he will be fetched. Even though that person knows how to reach the mat. This is his etiquette. He will ask one of his disciples, "You go and bring this personality." Amazingly, how he's doing this. This is a... we should learn from this also. That if, he says, if someone is coming to your place, it's just like Narayan visiting you. Is that correct? That is the Vedic culture. Someone visits you, it's just like Narayan is coming to your house. He will be always on time in the railway station, half an hour to 1 hour, just like his father. But what is special with him actually is that the way he deals with his disciples. He knew how to deal with them properly because he knew that these are sent by his Guru Maharaj. Just like Srila Prabhupada sent this also. He said one time that all of you are sent by my Guru Maharaj. So he always see them like this. That they're very special, that very often he will address them as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. Not just saying, "Oh, Prabhu, can you take this? Can you get this for me?" That's not Prabhu. We say like this, "Prabhu, do this for me, do that for me." Prabhu is like a master because they are sent by the Supreme Lord to help him in his mission. He would have this printing press in the temple room that he would do puja. He would do artik to the printing press, just like the deities. And he sees, like if there is a printing press, he sees the walls, not stones, but as Chintamani stones. He would, in terms of his dealing with his disciples, usually when he sees that they're not following, he would reprimand them once, but most of the times he will just let them do what they're doing. Because he would want to show more of the example, that he says that those who are not so serious, they will not last that long. Those who are serious, he encouraged them more, and by seeing his own example, they become more inspired to follow in his footsteps. How much more can we say or tell or instruct a person who does not want to follow? He would want everyone to attend Mangal Artik and Evening Artik. He himself is an example. He will be there for all the morning programs and the evening program. He would circumambulate the temple one time. He would tell all of his disciples also to do parikrama of the temple. Others will do three or four times, but he will only do one time. And in the kirtan, he'll be standing just at the back and watching everyone chanting up and down, dancing up and down the kirtan. And sometimes, if he would be near the middle of the natta, this is place where they do chanting and dancing, they will circumambulate him. From time to time he will smile, but most of the times he will be grave. But he will not dance with them. Externally, he does not have a very sweet voice. But internally, that's what counts. That most of the times, he would choose a devotee to sing who's very sincere, who's very serious, who has so much love for Krishna to chant, instead of those devotees who are very nicely chanting, but they just want to show off. He would rather do that. His favorite songs are like Gopinath. Gopinath, Mama Nivedana Suno, Visayi Durjana Kamasan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Kicho Nahe Moraguna. Gopinath, the song that I am a wicked materialist. I have any good qualification. Yasomati Nandan, that is one of his favorite songs also. Jaya Radha Madhava, that's one of his favorite songs. One time, because they have a garden near their temple in Mayapur, that in the garden they need workers to till the land and help cultivate the crops, the vegetables. So one brahmachari, he was asking almost everybody, please help me, I need help. I need help to cultivate the land so that we'll be able to offer nice bhoga for their lordships. And no one wants to come forward. Not a single brahmachari. And then he said, I will do it. I will help you. So everyone was so amazed. So everyone saw him. He folded his sannyas dress and, you know, went to till the land, cultivate. He picked up the vegetables. He used to grow carrots, patola, cabbage. So he put them in the basket and everyone was watching this. Then he went, he did himself, he washed the bhoga and bring it to the kitchen. And the next day, they saw every brahmacharis, they're all tilling the land and growing the vegetables by example. He would eat only out of formality. He practically does not eat at all. He says that he will only eat 2 kilos of rice in 1 month total. He would drink 200 ml of milk every day. But he told his brahmacharis not to drink milk every day, because this is very rich food stuff. Some of our brahmacharis like 1 liter every day. I know someone, but he's not here now though. You see? His favorite food prasad is khichdi. Dakkan style khichdi. This Dakkan style khichdi is like they will cook watery with lots of vegetables with a little bit of spice. And they will cook this the night before, so that the next day it'll be a little solid. And he will like this. He likes rock salt. Not this refined salt that you can buy in the market. He used a lot of salt in his prasada. Why? So that others will not take his remnants. And whenever there's a remnant left over in his prasada, he would ask his servant, "So who took the sweets prasad? So who took the chewed drumstick prasad?" You know drumstick? It's like long. It's seasonal. From time to time we have that here. When you eat it, you have to take it out like this. And then whatever is remaining, you don't eat that, because you'll get, throat, you'll be choked up. So by knowing who chose the sweets, and by knowing who chose the chewed drumstick, he can know their mentality. Whoever did this. At night time, he would be chanting in the veranda, still chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and he would go visit the brahmacharis, because he is so dear to them. He's just like a father. That if he sees that one does not have a mosquito net, or he's out of the mosquito net, he will put them inside the mosquito net. Or if he sees that they need to be put a blanket, he would put blanket to them. He's so happy to these brahmacharis that whoever would go out and just distribute 1 or 2 pamphlets, he will glorify them. One time, there was this a group of brahmacharis. They were talking with each other and they're criticizing. I think it was one of the servants. He was criticizing. He's like that. He's like this. He's like that. And he overheard it. And then he said, "Oh, this person, he washes clothes every day. He's very nice dhoti. He wears his dhoti very nicely." And the next day, no one talked bad about this personality. One time, some of his sannyasis also, they would go out and collect for the math. And there was some fight. Because some of them will be just in the temple, and some of them will be just collecting, some of them will be preaching, and some of them will be collecting. And some says, if you don't collect, you'll not be able to preach. So we are better than you. And the other says, no, no, we are better than you. We are spreading Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's knowledge. So he said to those who were saying that if we don't collect, no one will be able, you'll not be able to survive. And then he said, okay, you stay in the temple. You don't go out for 15 days. I will do the collecting myself. And he did. The next day he collected practically for the whole month's needs. So it is not just because those collectors are collecting that they be able to have the whole month survive. No. There is one professor in Benares University, Varanasi. This very famous Sanskrit university. Some of our devotees preaching there. So he approached Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and says, I have a question. I want to get a reply from you. And he says, no. I don't want to reply to your question. You go and see the pujaris who are cleaning the deity paraphernalia. And you ask them, surely they will be able to give you the answer. So he went to the deity prep room. He saw the pujaris, they're washing Lord's paraphernalia. And he said, I have some questions. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati told me to approach you for this. And you're the one who will be able to answer them. So, please, can you answer my question now? He says, no, you wait. We will answer your question after we finish. But in the meantime, why don't you just come and help? So that it will be quicker and we'll be able to reply to your questions. So he helped. Cleaning the deity's paraphernalia, cleaning. And then after the cleaning was over, so what is your question? No more. It's already answered. So when he went back to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, so your question was answered? No, I don't even have to ask. They already reply. While helping them. Yes. Scholarship. He says, learning Sanskrit, becoming very, very like a scholar is not a criteria to understand the tattva, Radha Krishna tattva. It needs one sincerity. It needs one sincerity to do this. He would have some sannyasis go collecting, and sometimes they will misuse their position in order to collect for the month. He would, for example, there was one sannyasi, and he tells lies. Oh, we have a hospital, we have so many patients. We have over 1,000 brahmacharis. So in this way, he'll be able to collect a lot. And one time, the sannyasi, he went to the tax collector officer. He asked his help. You come with me, because if I go visit someone, well, I'll be able to get lots of money for the month. He says, no way. I'm not going to go with you. But then he says, okay, can I just borrow your car so I can go back to my temple, to the math? He says, okay. But instead of going back to the math, to the temple, he used the car and still went, visited those different prospective donors. And then when they saw the car of the tax collector officer, they thought that, uh-oh, this must be trouble. I better give a big donation. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur heard this, he says, no way, I'm not going to accept. Whatever you collected, you give them back. You give them back. I don't want this. He initiated 13 Babaji's disciples, according to the Satkriya Deepika, this book by Gopal Bhatt Goswami. He has a lot of sannyasi disciples. He has at least 5,000 disciples from Bengal, West Bengal, Orissa, Puri. He has a few disciples, German disciples. Totaling almost 10,000 disciples he had. So he gave this Babaji. Babaji initiation means the topmost Paramahamsa stage. So how can he give? He's a sannyasi. Usually the Babaji initiation is only given by a Babaji. It cannot be given by a sannyasi. But because he is in the Paramahamsa stage, he's not just a sannyasi. Sannyasi is still material. This Varnasram Dharma is still like the way how we can develop love of God. But this is not conclusion. Not to become a perfect sannyasi. So, since then, he would say to those Babaji initiated disciples, don't tell your Manjari Bab to anyone. Don't tell your identity. And since then, in our Sampradaya, there was no Babaji initiation. But I've heard Prabhupada initiated one Babaji. He did. Right? He did. Because this devotee, he wanted to chant all the time. He would have two assistants with him. Was this Ananta Basudev? And then Sundarananda? He's a right hand, left hand man. One is for, well, one is a good manager, and one is like very good in sastra. There's this Ananta Basudev where, you know, he would speak, and if he stopped, whatever is remaining, the disciple will be able to continue what he's saying. He trusted him so much that sometimes he doesn't want to deal with the nitty-gritty, and he says that whatever the conclusion that he will give, I will accept. And there's this one, Sundarananda. He's a very good writer also. But he's a grihastha. He's a very good orator. He can speak so well the philosophy that whenever there is a function, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would always choose him to be the speaker. And the sannyasi says, Guru Maharaj, why is he speaking? We want to speak. We are better than him. He says, no. He is humble. And he knows the conclusion. He does not speak because he wants to show that he knows better than anybody, like you. It's the criteria. So from that day, no one wants to speak. If their Guru Maharaj says he's the speaker, he will be the speaker. They will not contend. They will not ask for whoever is. We want to speak. He has a lot of disciples, very exalted disciples, including one sannyasi, his godbrother, our Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There is this holiness, B.V. Puri Maharaj. He says, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he's the only disciple of our Guru Maharaj who got the full mercy. Our Prabhupada, he made some adjustments for preaching, but he did not water down or made things contrary to the Vedic scriptures or to the teachings of his Guru Maharaj. Because when he preached, when our Srila Prabhupada, he went to the West, he knew the mentality. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he would only preach especially heavily against Mayavad philosophy, against Sahajanism. Accordingly, if one is deviating to the Vedic principles, that he would sometimes he would use his danda and he would smash the person in the head. That's why he was called a lion, Singha Guru, lion guru. But with his disciples, he's very, very lenient. He's very lenient. That from and in those days, when one joins the math, the Gaudiya math, sometimes they've been running away from their parents, and the parents will come to take back the sons, their sons, and he would hide them under his bed. He would hide them under his bed. And even the police, the constables, they will come to take them, but he will hide them. He says, no, the crying of your parents is the crying of Maya. Which is better, the crying of Maya there or here? That's why he says that it takes gallons of blood to make a devotee, but it takes more hundreds of gallons of blood to maintain a devotee. Much more. So he considered them as very, very precious. But some of his disciples are very materialistic. He knew that there will be a fire after he lived. After his departure, there'll be fire in the mat, he said this. Because some of them, they just want to be sure which room they will take, which facilities they will have, what kind of things that I will get. I will be the next acharya. That's why he says, before leaving also, that there should be like a GBC kind of body to continue on. But as soon as after he left, there was a big fight in the court. Who will be the next successor? That practically nowadays, if you go and see their temples, then it's like almost empty. Only festival times, then they will have devotees. And but because we follow the instructions of our Srila Prabhupada, devotees or people are so amazed to see that how come this movement is still going on, strong, stronger and stronger. No one can tell if Prabhupada has left or not. As if he's ever more present right now. You look in other societies, as soon as the acharya left his body, going down, dissensions, quarrels amongst the members. And we see that also just recently, one acharya left and now they're not so much together. But Srila Prabhupada, his preaching is a little different than Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, because to the people that he will be preaching to, especially in those days when he came to America, they don't know any Vedic knowledge. He will always pound out, you're not this body, you're a spirit soul. Krishna is God. His name can be Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, Buddha, Adonai, Ram. He would always ask them to understand this simple philosophy. In the Gaudiya Mantra, you have to chant 64 rounds. Prabhupada says we should chant 16 rounds. No Matajis in the temple. Prabhupada, he permitted that. Brahmacharinis. There's no such thing as Brahmacharinis. But in the West, there's a section where the Matajis or the lady disciples will be staying. Do you have that in India? Huh? No. But Prabhupada is liberal. He knows how to preach accordingly, time, place, and circumstances. But some criticize our Prabhupada, especially his god brothers, saying that this is not proper. This is not our Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. The way he does things is different. That's why it was also kind of like criticized that why are you using our Guru Maharaj's name, Prabhupada? But the way, the result, is considered as no less than Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. That when they came to prove, he asked one of his disciples, go get my letterhead. Go get my letterhead. And then he showed, Tridandi Goswami, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Did you see Prabhupada there? No. That even in the last few months, I think it was 2 months before, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he reiterated to our Srila Prabhupada the same message. Preach this Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world and print books. This is what he called Brihat Midanga. The same instruction that he received when our Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in Calcutta. That whatever the desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to print as many books, because in those days they were printing many, many books, and sometimes also others will be asking him to review their books if it's fit to be printed. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur does not have time to read, but he will count how many names of Krishna can be found in the book. And if he found that there is so many Krishna names, says, yes, print this book. This is the criteria. Because it's so powerful. The holy names of the Lord is so powerful that anyone who would read this will become purified. May I read to you the last instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur? Huh? On December 23, he instructed the devotees gathered at his bedside. He left his body on December 31st, midnight, after midnight. This was in Calcutta. He went to Puri, but then when he knew that he's about to leave his body, he asked his disciples to bring him to Calcutta. That's amazing, huh? He's already in Puri. Holy Dham. Anyone who lives body in the Holy Dham surely go back home, back to Godhead, but still he chose to go to Calcutta. He says, I have upset many persons' minds. Many might have considered me their enemy because I was obliged to speak the plain truth of service and devotion towards the absolute Godhead. I have given them all those troubles only so they might turn their face towards the personality of Godhead without any desire for gain and with unalloyed devotion. Surely, someday, they will be able to understand that. I advise all to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath, two of the six Goswamis, direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya, with all energy and resources. Our ultimate goal shall be to become the dust of the lotus feet of Sisi Rupa and Raghunath Goswamis. You should all work conjointly under the guidance of your spiritual master with a view to serve the absolute knowledge, the personality of Godhead. You should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world, only for the service of Godhead. Do not, please, give up the service of Godhead in spite of all dangers, all criticisms, and all discomforts. This is like one of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada also. Please, don't leave ISKCON, no matter what happened. Do not be disappointed, for most people in the world do not serve the personality of Godhead. Do not give up your own service, which is your everything and all. Neither reject the process of chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of Godhead. The topmost aparad is to take away somebody else's service. That is the highest Vaishnava aparad. Because one's service towards the Supreme Lord is one's relationship towards the Supreme Lord that is being done with love and devotion according to the bhakta, to the Supreme Lord. And it says here, do not give up your own service. That is your life and soul. You should always chant the transcendental name of Godhead with patience and forbearance like a tree and humbleness like a straw. There are many amongst you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other desire whatsoever. After midnight on December 31st, Srila Sarasvati Thakur left this world. His body was taken by his disciples to Mayapur and established his samadhi there. Just a few more words here. He was a monumental personality. News of his departure was broadcast on All India Radio, and an official day of mourning was observed in Bengal. The Corporation of Calcutta held a special meeting in tribute to his memory and issued a resolution expressing its members' deep sorrow. It says that the grandson is more dear to the grandfather than the father to the son, or the son to the father. But most of us here are great-grandsons. So how much more we are dear to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur if we follow his instructions, if we follow his orders, especially to distribute books, distribute this transcendental literature to the conditioned souls, help them in their march going back home, back to Godhead. We may not be perfect, we may not be pure, but if we deliver the pure message, hopingly that someday we'll also come to the platform that we are becoming perfect. We don't have any other desire except to please the predecessor acharyas, our spiritual master, to help them in their anxieties, just like Krishna's main one anxiety for us to go back home, back to Godhead as soon as possible. And as representatives of the Supreme Lord, the spiritual master has the same anxiety. So if we help try to ease this anxiety, lessen this anxiety, hopefully we'll be able to get a little bit of their mercy and blessings, that we may be able also that one day come to the pure stage of Krishna consciousness. This is our goal. So today is most auspicious day. Let's all pray to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to bless us to continue on with our devotional service in spite of so many obstacles, so many hardships, so many things that prevent us or stop us from becoming Krishna consciousness, becoming Krishna conscious. But with the help of the acharyas like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, someday we'll be able to make it. But we should never stop chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Itai Gaur Premanande.